And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I am the Green Ranger, Michael, being joined by the entire team, where we have the Blue Ranger, Brian.
Hey, everybody, what's going on?
The Red Ranger, Sasha.
The one, the only, the fabulous.
And the Black Ranger, Mr. Ben Taylor.
It's me, your boy, Ben Taylor, a.k.a. the inventor of the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Wait, what?
That was you? Damn, the royalties you must have collected over the decades.
I invented it when I was very young. I was not savvy to royalties.
Well, you might have invented that, but I'm the one that invented the crust off the peanut butter sandwich, so.
Ooh, Uncrustables.
Yeah.
All right.
Royalties on top of royalties.
I get no royalties from anything. So anyways.
The Jews always get screwed over on the royalties. It's fine.
Yeah. So speaking of that, we're going into today's episode of White Light Part 1 and 2. It is a joyous occasion, which brings the team together. Ben is looking pained. Sasha is not amused. Brian looks confused with two thumbs up.
Brian is happy to be here, and we are happy to have him.
Oh boy. Every day is a blessing and a miracle.
So I think with that, we're just going to hop right into it. Just to throw this out there, we're going to do this a little differently from past episodes where we've done the group. I'm going to do the quick run through, which is everyone's favorite segment in my mind. And then actually, I'm going to go into the more of the moderator role and ask a couple questions and let the other three answer them and discuss.
This episode's bad and it should feel bad.
So, and actually, Ben, let's do it this way. When I say which episode I'm doing, you come in with the AKA.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You ready? Ready? So everyone, it is now that time for everyone's favorite segment in my mind. The quick run through. Of White Light, Part 1.
Well, I have an AKA for both parts of this.
No. Go with the AKA for this one.
No. It's one AKA. Oh, so it's just okay. White Light.
Okay. But so I'll also be doing Part 2 in a moment, so it's...
The AKA is, and so it begins the reign of Tommy Oliver's dominance. Because from this forth on, he is never without powers.
And we begin at the youth center where Bulk and Skull are looking for their sandwiches. Wow, you really foretold that one, Ben. Kim comes in to talk to Trini and Billy, all excited about Tommy. Zed obviously is not impressed. At the park, Kim tells Zach and Jason that Tommy is coming home. And at the command center, Zordon and Alpha head to the Hidden Chamber to work on a special secret mission. Zed senses this and plans to attack. At the park, Rita's dumpster lands. Bulk and Skull get to it first and take the Skull's place. Billy and Jason arrive only to see the crater that was left behind. Zach is at the statue and notices this ooze coming from it. Zach tells Trini and Kim, and they head to the statue. They try to contact the command center, but to no response. Zed sends putties to attack the Rangers to buy his monster more time. At Skull's place, they work on trying to open Rita's dumpster, but then afterwards, the Rangers teleport to the command center, and oh, hey, hi, Tommy. Later, Tommy. We'll see you later. At the command center, the Rangers arrive to a dark and empty command center. Zed finally unleashes his monster. Meanwhile, Rita doesn't know that Bulk and Skull are about to break her out. The Rangers morph into action to fight Zed's monster. Zed makes the monster grow, and it's Megazord time. Billy realizes something is wrong and transports to the command center. And poor Rita during all of this because she is just getting assaulted by chainsaw noises. At the command center, Billy arrives and while searching for Zordon and Alpha, opens the white door to the hidden chamber. Billy sees them working on a new ranger, which leads us to White Light Part 2. At the command center, we see Billy still peeping on Zordon and Alpha creating a new ranger. Billy returns to the others and he tells the others what he saw. They think it's not Tommy, even though Billy never says he saw who it was. That's the funny part. Bulk and Skull still trying to open the dumpster, but Rita just pops it open and when they leave. like it was nothing. At the command center, everything's powered up and they summon the Rangers. The Rangers arrive and Zordon presents the White Ranger. The White Ranger removes their helmet to the delight of the team. Kim faints, and it's Tommy, who's also the new leader of the team. Jason would like to have a word with you, Zordon. And we get introduced to Saba. Zordon sends Bulk, Billy and Trini to repair the Zords. Zach, Jason, and Kim go to Bulk and Skull to keep Rita in her dumpster. And then Tommy calls upon the White Tiger Zord to battle the monster. Tommy's getting beat up and gets ejected. Jason calls upon the Red Dragon Zord and then the Mega Tiger Megazord for the win. They actually called it Mega Tiger Megazord at the beginning, and then they changed it to just Tiger Megazord. Bulk and Skull give up opening the dumpsters. Rita still escapes and Bulk and Skull freak out. The Rangers capture Rita and put her in the dumpster again and send it off elsewhere. And that...
Clearly action figure Rita.
Yes. Clearly action figure Rita. So with that said, we're going to go into our first question. And obviously, as we learn that Tommy is the White Ranger, as we say this like 20 plus years later. So the first question is this: leading up to White Light, we are introduced to Richie and Curtis. Richie's always kind of just there and sometimes played the love interest of Trini, while Curtis, on the other hand, is Zach's cousin and is known to be a musician, is a bit more fleshed out than Richie character-wise. If you had to choose someone else to take over as the White Ranger that wasn't Tommy, who would it be, and why would it be Skull?
It wouldn't be Skull.
Sasha has that smile on her face because we had this conversation.
We did, and I don't know. I told Mike, and now I'm telling all of our listeners and you guys, is that, like, on the one hand, it's really intriguing because it would have actually worked well to sort of build Skull's identity a bit more outside of the Bulk and Skull, and it would have been cool to see him, like, trying to figure out how to be a ranger while, first of all, learning that his bullies are now the Power Rangers, while also having to keep the secret from Bulk. But at the same time, it feels kind of wrong to add conflict to this perfect duo that is, I don't know if Skull is quite yet ready to be a Power Ranger. Talk to me when we get to Turbo.
Yeah, it reminds me of the conversation you and I had recently, Sasha, where... spoiler alert, I'm rewatching Dino Thunder right now. Out of the blue, I went, man, I feel sorry for Devin. And she and Sasha's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, he was supposed to be a Power Ranger. And she's like, what? And so I explained about how Devin was originally supposed to be a Power Ranger and was had to keep that from Cassidy. And that reminds me kind of what you're trying to set up with Bulk and Skull here. But my answer would not be Skull.
Who would it be then?
Right. First of all, I know there's this long and storied rivalry between myself and Mr. Thomas Oliver. I want it pointed out that narratively, Tommy was the correct choice to be White Ranger.
I mean, he was kind of the only choice, but fair.
However, they did it wrong. Like, they didn't do it very well narratively. There were a few miscues, and it was much too quick of a turnaround to bring him back, right? However, if I had to choose someone other than Tommy, I would choose a brand new character. I would have it either be an alien to set up the Alien Rangers for next season, maybe someone from Eltar that Zordon once knew, or I would have it be someone they dug up from the ancient past, which would set up the Shogun Zords for next season.
That's a really good answer.
That would be that. That's who I would have it be. I'd have it be a brand new character, and I would have it because you see glimpses of things that are going to come down the line in this season, like in Ninja Encounter, you get your first introduction to ninjutsu, which we'll see in season 3. And then there's just, and like Wild West Rangers, which we'll get to at the end of the season, sets up the idea that there were Rangers before the Mighty Morphin Rangers, right?
Right.
And we know season three are from even further back. If we're looking at Shoguns, it's about, I can't remember the exact time, but like,
oh, it's centuries and centuries back.
But yeah, I can't remember if it's like, you know,
If we're talking like actual Japanese history, like the shogunate was around in like the 1600s, 1700s, stuff like that. So,
but yeah, I would have it used to set up the expectations for that.
All right, Brian, what about you?
So I was a dummy and I looked at that and I was like, well, if I have to pick out of those two, I would go with Curtis. But also hearing y'all's answers, I'm like racking my brain and I'm like, you know, that's a, because I feel like Ben had the right answer where it's like, do a completely new Ranger. And building on top of that, why wouldn't you just have it be somebody who's like, I don't know, an underling of like Ninjor maybe, like he said. Like, and then that way, like he said, you can connect the two. But if we had to go with anybody that was established prior, I mean, Curtis is related to Zach and he's got a personality. I don't know if he would necessarily be a good White Ranger. Maybe like have him take another color and then somebody else, like Jason becomes the White Ranger, but then, you know, that whole thing.
I think with Curtis would have been the fact that they already knew that Zach and Co were leaving. And I don't think they would have wanted to remind the audience of Zach at every turn.
Good point.
Yeah, they tried really hard to make us forget that Jason, Trini, and Zach were like actual like members of the cast.
The ADR that they did for these, like, oh, you know,
so Jason, bad.
Oh my god! There's an episode that we're going to be recording later on, and like it was so noticeably bad with Trini that I had to stop and like refrain myself from laughing because it was like 3 a.m. and I didn't want to wake my roommates up. I was like, wow.
In the episodes that follow this and lead into Ninja Encounter, and we'll get to this when we talk about Ninja Encounter, but like you can see where they like where they're using like stock footage or when it's clearly body doubles and it's not actually the actors that play Trini, Zach, and Jason. Like, it's so bad, but like a kid's brain doesn't notice that unless you're like, oh my god, Zach is my favorite character.
Right.
Like, unless you're like super passionate about these three characters, you're not going to notice. And the show, the way the episodes are set up, is they do try to make you sort of forget that they exist and focus on the stories that that Tommy, Kim, and Billy are going through.
Right. And then, like, it's really noticeable with like Zach's flat top suddenly coming back and then like Jason's like stunt doubles that hair stuff is so for bad.
Later recording, guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fair we'll enough. Get there. To take it back to point, Mike, right. Why would Skull have made the perfect Ranger for you?
I don't think he would have been the perfect Ranger, but I think storyline wise, it would have added a nice new dynamic to the show in general. Like, you still keep like Skull as friends with Bulk, but like as you and I talked about, you add this, you act like. Ben always says that the most human characters in the show are Bulk and Skull.
Sure.
Fact.
Why not turn one of them into a Ranger and actually add more to that dynamic? Because it's like, now you're adding a little bit more layers to Skull going like, now I got to keep my identity. He could still partake maybe with Bulk and like, oh, we're going to find out who the Rangers are. But then he kind of goes, you know, I can't let him know. And then kind of, you know.
That seems kind of mean.
Not necessarily mean, but like,
here's a question.
But he doesn't do it in the way where he like they get bullied, like the way the Rangers bully them. He does it more in like a more cautious and like not to try to embarrass Bulk type of way.
Okay,
you see what I'm saying? It's like, because the Rangers, like Billy, Zach, and all them, they embarrass Bulk and Skull. You know, we've posed that question several times. Who are the real bullies of the show? This is an opportunity for Skull to actually maybe take that step and go, hey, you know, these guys are like really like the bullies. I can be different and actually probably become a better better character development over time like that too.
What were you saying, Brian?
I was going to ask, how does becoming a ranger change Skull's personality over time?
Think about it as like a character development moment though.
Yeah.
Like, you are a kid, you're just a dork, you're obsessed with the Civil War apparently, but you have this dynamic with your friend, and then suddenly the fate of the Angel Grove, not even the world, is put on your shoulders, and you're expected to not only keep this from your best friend, well, only, but best friend, right? But you also have to save the world and work with the people that don't really like you. That if that's not a character building experience, I don't know what is.
Those would be some very interesting episodes, I think.
Counterpoints. As the show is established, I feel making Skull a Ranger would make him less human. Because part of the thing about being a Ranger as part of the Mighty Morphin team is you are a paragon. Right? You are this goody-goody. You do go on a talk show and say, stay in school, kids. Right? However, what would be really interesting is if you did want Skull to be the White Ranger, you could do it. You would just have to set things up differently. The way that springs to mind, right, is you don't have Zordon create the White Ranger, right? You have Bulk and Skull find Rita's dumpster, and like Rita, or they find something else. Like, they're searching for the identity of the Power Rangers.
Let me actually pose this question real quick for you, because you're actually going into one of the questions I was going to ask, which is Bulk and Skull's obsession over Rita's dumpster is one of the interesting stories being played out.
Let me finish, right? Because I'm taking it in another direction eventually. Or you have them find like, you have them find a different artifact. You know how like in like future Ranger seasons, not all of the powers come from the same source, right? You have them search, they be like, oh, we're looking for the Power Rangers, right? And they end up in a cave and find a Dino Gem or a Ener Gem or a... they find something, and that gives Skull the white power, the White Ranger power.
Maybe have them find Saba.
There you go. Right? Yeah.
They find Saba.
Interesting.
And he binds the Skull, so it has to be Skull that's the White Ranger. And then Skull doesn't have to keep it from Bulk, because Bulk's there when he finds the power, right? And they can both improve as people, because one of them can actually help save humanity.
Yeah.
I love that, but counterpoint to your counterpoint about Skull becoming less human as a Ranger. What if instead of him becoming less human, the Power Rangers themselves become more human?
I mean, that's not really in the cards, though.
I mean, right, as things stand.
Right, but with the way that I was saying about him finding Saba, it's a possibility that they may change. But if he's indoctrinated into the Zordon way of doing things, it is highly unlikely.
No, that's fair. I think if things had been adapted the way you're suggesting, it would have made the Rangers more human.
Man, I suddenly want to rewrite this season.
I pose a question, and it's a hypothetical. It's not going to go anywhere necessarily, but I just had an idea, because Bulk and Skull are the ones that find Saba. So just using this as an example, there's a season of Kamen Rider called Double, where it's literally two people fused into one. What if either Bulk and Skull could share the White Ranger power together, or they could trade it off? So like they either...
I think that would be a little too complicated for a kids show.
Especially for the 90s.
Yeah.
Just throwing an idea out there, seeing if it stuck, and it obviously didn't. So
I also like the idea that Skull get, if we're going with the idea that they, that Skull finds Saba, right, and Skull becomes the White Ranger. Again, this is all hypothetical in my little rebooking of season two. If Skull were to find Saba and go off and join the Rangers in fighting and get the ability to become a Power Ranger, Bulk would then find his own way to contribute. Do you see what I'm saying? I really, and we'll see that when we, the four of us, record a much later episode about Ninja Encounter. But we'll get to that when we record Ninja Encounter.
But sticking with Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
Bulk and Skull's obsession over Rita's dumpster is obviously one of the more interesting stories being played out in White Light. What do you think would have happened if they had succeeded and spoke with Rita instead of passing out?
I think they would have spoken to Rita and then passed out anyway, but... Right. I wonder if... I think they would have been freaked out no matter what because they had no idea what to expect in there, really. But I think Rita would have probably started with insulting them or something very Rita-esque. I'm not sure if she would have just like outwardly like revealed the Rangers' identities or something like that, unless it benefited her directly.
She really had no reason to do that. And it's like,
yeah, exactly.
I have an idea of what might have happened. So given that Rita is in the business of employing aliens like Babu and Squat, I'm sure that she would have probably tried to convince them to join her in exchange for like powers, riches, or something else. Now, I don't think necessarily that Bulk and Skull would have joined her. You know, like if you know, you destroy my hometown every day and then you come and ask me to, you know, join you in like doing that, see what my answer is. But you know, I feel like that would have been the dialogue maybe.
Could be.
Where she's just like, join me and like help me destroy the, they're like, whoa, we'd like the Power Rangers. Like, no. Like,
so we just want to know who they are.
Right.
It also would have helped, I think, I like that idea, Brian. I think it would have helped to sort of establish them as like, they're not bad people, but we'll, but other things establish that later on.
Right.
Ben?
Oh God, Ben.
My answer is very different.
That's okay.
And it is, they'd be dead. Or slaves.
Rita just comes out of the dumpster and goes, bow down to me.
Well, she literally refers to them as a human Squat and Babu the moment she sees them, right? And she always thought Squat and Babu were below her, right? So, and she's proven that she has no qualms in actually destroying human life. And she's been cooped up in a dumpster and is really pissed off. So I think they would have talked to her for about 30 seconds and then they would have said something stupid and she would have zapped them.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that happening too.
Mike, what's yours?
Or it would have been something stupid like they'd have fallen over and fell in the dumpster themselves.
Oh no!
Bulk and Skull in space!
I think
AKA
they...
Lost Galaxy?
Well, yeah. Half of it.
Yeah.
I think that with, especially with Rita still in action figure mode, I think they would have like, you know, definitely have picked her up and being like, oh my God, it's, you know, we finally get to see Rita. And, you know, kind of like with Ben's point, they're probably going to do like a lot of stupid stuff. But one of the biggest things they're going to do is like, you've been going against after the Rangers for so long. We want to know who the Rangers are because you know it. And it's like, you see this like kind of like, maybe in a way, like a little bit of a power struggle, because you can also tell that Reed is also maybe not fully in control at that point yet. So, because like, look how quickly she gets out of the dumpster. She stays the size of an action figure and the Rangers literally just pick her up and throw her back in the dumpster.
Right. But counterpoint. While it is debatable on whether or not humans as a whole know that parties are called parties and they know that the monsters are attacking, has any of them ever heard the name Rita Repulsa?
Yes, because it's been on the news.
Didn't she also like come down to Earth at one point?
Yeah, so it's been on the news multiple times. Wait, what I'm asking is
why would they know the name Rita? Like, even the newscasters, why would they know the name Rita?
Didn't she come down to Earth a couple times and basically say, "I'm Rita Repulsa and I'm going to take over the world," or something like that?
Yeah, she did that. She did that in the beginning of the season.
I can't remember that. Like, I know that she did that in the Sentai, but I can't remember her doing that in the Power Rangers version.
She did something, but there was definitely a point where she came down to Earth. There was like the one time, and she was like, "Bow down to me." She did it.
Yeah, because remember, it was when she had the child dangling up, and then they used the Megazord to catch the kid. It was that episode.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
I've tried to block as much of season one as possible out of my brain.
Valid.
So with that, we got one last question. It's about responsibility. It's about leadership. It's about mentorship. It's noted that Zordon and Alpha don't inform the Rangers.
Mentorship? So we're not talking about Zordon and Alpha then.
Pretty much.
But it's noted that Zordon and Alpha don't inform the Rangers that they were going to work on their special project. What type of example does this give the Rangers from a leadership and mentorship perspective?
Don't rely on Zordon and Alpha, because they'll disappear randomly for no reasons that you will not know about. But see, the issue so much isn't that, just that part of it, right? The fact that they disappear and don't even bother to tell the Rangers, like, "Hey, we're gonna be off comms for like a couple of days, like maybe watch out for Zed."
Let me point out, it's not a couple of days, it's literally hours.
Right, even better. Like, yeah, we'll be off comms for a couple hours, so like, I don't know, pay attention, right? It's the fact that Zed knows. Zed is the one who's like, "Ah, I smell a disturbance in the force," or whatever. Zordon is going offline. Like, but in terms of the example this sets, is that Zordon is not a mentor, because this is a really dumb thing to do.
And to pull the curtain back, I love this question on the day of recording, because this is the day that the mentor article came out on the website. Right.
Perfect timing.
I'm of the mind that not only does Zordon need to communicate more with the Rangers, but like, there needs to be something on the communicators themselves that indicates that, hey, you missed a call, or hey, you missed something, because like, there's nothing on there that even begins to indicate, oh yeah, Zordon tried to reach us, like not even a blinking light or something. So it's like, they really need to work on
voicemail.
Right. like something as simple as that would like help them out exponentially. I think
Billy could have easily built some kind of extra button that like lights up when they missed a call from Zordon.
Yeah.
What example does this set? A really bad one. I mean, not to get too drawing back the curtainy, but the single most important thing that you can do when working as a team, especially when you are changing things from the norm, is communicate. It is the single most important thing you can do when moving things away from what is expected or from the norm, is communicate. And either Zordon and Alpha don't think that's the case, or they don't think enough of the Rangers to warrant their time not being wasted, or their very safety. And it's just a really bad example to set as a leader, because you're supposed to be teaching these teams how to do things right. And you didn't.
Yep.
I mean, we've talked off you know, offline, quote unquote, multiple times about how like Zordon is not, he doesn't actually mentor. Like, he's not really a guy I would want to go to advice for. He can't even provide good, decent battle strategy.
Here, he's have just a sword.
It, oh yeah, here's a cool sword. What does it do? It talks. But he's just, I think even, doesn't like Alpha bring up something about like, shouldn't we like, something about like going dark and like, shoot, I should have made a note about it. But he's just not a good mentor. He has the opportunity to maybe like train the Rangers but this is the problem I think that Ben was kind of talking about, is like the Rangers are perfect, air quotes. They don't really need a mentor. They don't need training because they already know karate or etc. So Zordon's job is to be the dude that's like, oh, I get to name the monster of the week. And I get to remind the Rangers that, ah, you have Zords and here's where you need to go. Like, beyond, what does he contribute even?
Do you know what Zordon reminds me of?
A high school principal?
No, I don't know. No, he reminds me of officers in like the First and Second World War that were never actually on the front lines, and all they did was stand around and move things on a map and tell other people what to do. That's what he reminds me of. He's not actually contributing in any way.
Like Alpha has contributed more. Like Alpha has contributed more, because like Alpha has actually legit gone out to save a kid.
And Alpha is also the one that says, don't worry, whoever, we'll rescue this or we'll solve this. Alpha provides, at the very least, a necessary moment of it's going to be okay.
You know why Alpha is more useful than Zordon? Like, bottom line. Opposable thumbs.
And at that point, just hands, really.
I'm just saying. At least Alpha can hold a thing.
Right.
Zordon just talks and decides who the leader is based on for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how do you think Jason feels on this from a leadership perspective? Because it's like,
quote, Jason, that's great.
This is great. I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
So I had I think I mentioned this when we talked about sort of our season one and our experiences with Power Rangers. Like, I'd never actually seen this portion of Power Rangers because the Russian dub, I think, ended right around the time Zed showed up or something like that. I don't remember exactly. So I have zero recollection of this. But the fact that Jason, who has been leading this team, who's been in charge, who's been the one to rely on, suddenly go, that's great, to Tommy being the leader for no reason other than he has a fancier outfit, is insane. You don't just decide randomly to make one of the other Rangers a leader just for funsies. Like, hey, let's let Kimberly be the leader next week.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, I could say it from, like, at least from the sports perspective. You know, like, if you're the captain of the team, you're normally voted on by your teammates to be the captain.
Yeah.
It's not just randomly given to you by the coach or anything like that.
Right, but it's quite clear the way they've been writing it that they would have voted for Tommy.
Yeah.
Because they've been deifying him for a season and a half.
Like I would.
He's an inch from apotheosis at this point.
Like it would have made more sense to keep Jason the leader right now, and then when we got to power transfer,
transfer it off, right?
Yeah, transfer the leadership off, because that way it's like, you know, you would have had a more natural transition from leader to leader rather than just, oh, well, Tommy's the leader now because he's the White Ranger. And Jason's just like,
I mean,
great.
Don't they sort of do something like that right before? No?
No, no. Zordon just goes, he's the new leader of the team.
No. Sorry, let me rephrase. Not here. I mean, later on in power transfer. Or am I just misremembering?
Like, you're misremembering, because, like, literally, Tommy becomes the leader of the Power Rangers by Zordon going, Tommy's now the leader of the Power Rangers.
Yeah. He's like, Zordon literally says, I trust that you are happy with your new choice for leader of the Power Rangers. And Jason's like, this is great. And apparently that was like something that they hastily put in there.
Yeah, because you could tell that Jason kind of was like, that's great. But you could tell by the facial expression, it wasn't
like
overly
like
great.
He was probably saying that about like, oh man, Tommy's back. That's great. Instead of like, oh, he's the new leader. Oh, that's great. Like, ugh, God, okay.
Because the line is like, I'm glad you, I take it you are all glad with my choice of White Ranger and new leader of the Power Rangers, right?
Yeah.
Which is like asking someone, have you ever eaten sugar or PCP?
Also, something that is never addressed thus far is Zed's obsession with Tommy.
Well, in the beginning, it was just to take away the powers because he knew that he was the weakest link.
But there was also a bit in this episode where he's like, "And the Green Ranger, the previous Ranger, Tommy will return to my side." And then he never references him again until after he's the White Ranger.
Yeah, he just lost sight of him. That's all.
Like, well, that plan just, you know,
evaporated,
imploded on itself. Okay.
So, does anyone have anything else they want to talk about the episode? Because I've got a few things.
I might have a few things, but you go right ahead.
If you want to start while we look through our notes, I'm game for that.
All right. So the very first thing I want to talk about is Tommy being brought back as White Ranger and how it was apparently done because of a mass letter writing campaign at the time of Green No More going out. And how I absolutely don't believe that. I don't buy it for a second. And here's why. Green No More Part 1 aired on September 27th. Part 2 on September 28th. White Light Part 1 aired on October 17th. And Part 2 on October 18th. That's 19 days apart. That's 19 days to air the episodes, have kids write the letters, mail the letters, the mail to travel, because bear in mind there weren't email back in these days, read the letters, negotiate a contract, unnegotiate another contract, film scenes, edit scenes, cut scenes, print scenes, distribute the episodes, all while him still being involved in the episodes between Green No More and White Light.
Question though, and yeah, you bring up valid points, but did they mention specifically when the letter writing campaign took place?
It was after Green No More.
That's weird.
I think what it could have been is that you probably were getting letters from the get-go when Tommy first originally lost the powers in season one. And I think it was those
now,
letters.
Now, if that's the case, that's fine, right?
Yeah.
But don't say a letter writing campaign after Green No More.
Yeah, because realistically, that's really... Like, I could see a letter campaign being from season one to save Tommy.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And honestly, whoever came out with the thing that is from Green No More, that like you just said there, the timing of that is just, it doesn't make sense. Whereas the timing of a season one episode where Tommy loses the powers to the point of where we get the Green No More makes a lot more sense.
I'm going to check something you guys talk on.
Yeah. So, Bri, you got any notes?
I've got a few, but I mean, I will say, like, even though as an adult, you know, here we are talking about Tommy in such a way, back in the day, it was cool to see, you know, like, oh, cool, he's back. I mean, he didn't really ever leave, though. That's the thing. It's like, I can't miss you if you don't leave.
A small note, Green Candle, which was the first time he lost his powers, aired literally a year before.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, no! Like, save my favorite Ranger. And you know, he absolutely was a fan favorite Ranger even back mm-hmm. that early. Otherwise, they wouldn't have cast him as the White Ranger. So, you know, but I don't know.
I mean, when you have a mullet that beautiful like his, I mean, you... sorry, I had to make
pretty good mullet.
Yeah, it was
a really good mullet.
I mean, that was the thing back in the early 90s. So,
but yeah, like. I just wanted to point out that the timing to me didn't completely add up there.
Yeah, that timing does not add up at all.
Yeah.
What was your note that you were trying to talk about, Brian?
Oh, well, I was just saying again, like, you know, back in the day, it's like, yeah, like Tommy was the guy. And then, like, I don't know. Watching this, you have to keep in mind that this was a show that was on, like, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, 5 days a week, and like, I don't know, it all kind of ran together for me, like, back in the day, and like, so watching this, I had to kind of, you know, stop and be all like, oh right, I don't know, but like, going back to, sorry, I'm getting interrupted by Kat here, but going back to, Just thinking about this episode, I mean, as our prior discussion, I do think that they could have done things differently. But I don't know. Like, I think ultimately this signaled a very drastic change in the series.
And it shows in the later episodes for sure.
Yeah. One of my notes here that it was definitely the... it was like a ramp up. Like, if you watch the fight scenes before the White Ranger, they're still yeah. using a lot of the old Zio Ranger and Zio 2 footage, which is not great. But then we get into the more... It's almost like... Because Dire Gross. Ranger... Because Dire Ranger had a slightly different...
Fighting
style, right? So you see a lot more of that in the White Ranger footage.
Which is nice, because I did write in my notes here, it is nice to finally see, you know, a Die Ranger Zord fighting a Die Ranger villain on screen, and it's mm-hmm. not like a Die Ranger villain and then a Zio Ranger villain fighting, you know, the Dairano, or I forget whatever it's called in Japan, but like, it got to the point where it was like, you're literally seeing somebody throw a sword slash and then reacting to that, and like, they're never on screen together.
Yeah.
And it got old. Really fast. So it was cool to see the White Tiger Zord just show up and like be like, oh, okay. And
I like how they do like they actually make light of the very first time Tommy uses the White Tiger Zord. He has the stumble, which is actually something when the kid in Dire Ranger, like, because he's overexcited, like, he causes the White Tiger Zord to stumble as well. Like, yeah. So it's kind of nice how they're able to make a play off of that mm-hmm. when they first introduced the White Tiger Zord.
Anything from you, Sasha?
So I do have an interesting note here that I took. There's a moment where, so there's two monsters in this episode, and one of them splits into two monsters, and he calls the multi-pieces AC/DC.
Yeah, because his powers are electricity-based.
I know, but it's still funny. Yeah. And then the other monster's name is Nimrod, which I think is Zordon's nickname. He just doesn't want it to be shit. he just doesn't want it advertised.
Another weird thing about this monster is, why does this monster need to gestate when none of Zed's other monsters need to gestate?
Yeah, that was a weird one. But to be honest, one of the things that I'm noticing this season is like, what exactly is Zed's plan? Because he, at this point, is no different than Rita. The only real difference is the way he makes monsters. He's obsessed with Tommy to the point of insanity, right? He spies on Zordon, but he doesn't do anything about the fact that he spies on Zordon. And he's still on the, I need to destroy the world. I need to destroy the Rangers before I take over the world shtick. Which, like, you could take over half the world with the time he's wasting on the Power Rangers.
I think we're going to get to this when we record the episode about the wedding, because I have a lot to say there.
All right.
Another note from me is, this episode was directed by one Jonathan Zacher. who goes on to become the showrunner for Power Rangers Samurai, and therefore has a lot to answer for.
And then also another note, Saba is voiced by Tony Oliver, who is one of the producers of the show, and is also the reason why Tommy has the last name of Oliver. Talk about a full circle thing. We
discussed
right
that before, yeah.
All right, I do have one more note because this was very annoying to me. Why the heck does Kimberly faint when she sees Tommy, when he sees the White Ranger take off the helmet? Like, give me a freaking break. There is no real reason for this. There is none. It's like, oh, I'm a girl and this is my first swoon. I'm going to faint.
Can we also point out can we also point out how literally no one reacts to it? Everyone's still looking at Tommy.
Kimberly fainted. Okay.
I'm like, does he have a concussion? Those look like hardwood floors in the command center. Like, does he bonk
there's
her head?
A whole bunch, right? There's like a whole bunch of metal bulkheads and like tech pieces everywhere. Like, but it just it was just so random and so distracting.
The funny thing is, and to pull the curtain back a little bit, we do record these episodes out of order. And I did my notes recently for Wild West Rangers towards the end of the season. And she faints again in that episode. And I literally have a note about, does Kim have anemia issues? Like, does she have blood pressure problems?
Oh, that's not a great thing to have when you're a Power Ranger.
Or a pilot.
Or a pilot!
I'm glad she's not the Red Ranger then. But yeah, like, oh man. I don't know.
It was so, like, you know, I'm basing off memories because I haven't seen Wild West Rangers in a very, very long time. I can imagine her like seeing a new version of her friends and like that, you know, an older version of her friends and like fainting from that. But like,
she faints when she sees Tommy.
Oh my God, are you kidding
the
me?
The White Stranger. Yeah.
Oh my!
And then, like, he like picks her up and he's like, "Hey, beautiful." She's like, "I can't believe it." I'm like, "Ugh." Everybody's like, "Oh," and I'm like, "Ugh."
Okay, I haven't had dinner yet, but if I had, I would have lost it. First of all, like,
ideas for when we record this episode.
I can't. I have so much. Like, one of the things we've constantly talked about is Power Rangers does not do romance very well, with some exception. But generally speaking, it's not great even when it's there.
Have they ever done a really good romance?
Time Force, maybe? No.
Andros and Ashley?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, we with a couple of exceptions. But this is just like the most cliched, like, kid.
It's storybook.
Like, It's two story. Like, this is an action show about people fighting the forces of evil to save their livelihoods, their city, right? Their planet, even. And here we have Kimberly swooning over the boy she knows is coming back. Like, if Tommy had been absent for, like, let's say 20 episodes.
Yep.
And we weren't sure if he was coming back, and he wasn't sure if he was coming back, and maybe they were exchanging letters, and maybe the shock of seeing him after months of not hearing from him or something, that would make sense, even if it would still be poorly conceived.
That's what I was saying in the first question, where they messed it up narratively.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So for the record, from Green No More Part 2 to White Light Part 1,
it's three episodes.
Tommy had only been gone for three episodes.
He technically only been gone for two episodes because he's in one of them.
It's just, it's so ridiculous. And so, like, we get it. Kimberly's the cliched girl and she wears pink. Like, okay, we got it.
All right. To move on from this kettle of fish I've opened, another note I had was that there's a really interesting little tidbit that's thrown in here that clearly isn't true anymore. But at the time, there's a throwaway line where Zed says the morphing grid is maintained by the battle between him and Zordon. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's... it's more than the Morphin Grid is mentioned in other Mega Force seasons.
don't say the M word.
I almost did. You see, I almost threw up as I nearly said it.
Yeah, I did.
And I've not even watched the whole season. I've watched like two episodes. But yeah, just it's. I just thought that was at least they tried to put a bit of lore in there for the Morphin Grid, right? It's clearly been overwritten since with like RPM's version of the Morphin Grid and. The way that Operation Overdrive was like Alpha could go into the Morphin Grid, and but back then when that was the only lore, it was a really nice little tidbit. Anything else from anyone?
I have a positive note.
Ooh,
I know. So one of the things I really enjoyed is actually the music for these episodes. And there's a really, the best tune has to be when they're at the statue and they're fighting the putties while the monster's still gestating. And it's such a good, I think it was like a rock riff, but it was so good. I was like, can I just pause the episode and just like listen to this?
Well, let's be honest. All the riffs are usually rock riffs by Ron Wasserman.
This is true.
I would like you to meet Operation Overdrive.
Fair. Like, I don't know if that was Fight for One or Fight that was playing there, but like, I mean, I've listened to that stuff just over and over and over again. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I would also like to point out that since we were talking about the Tommy thing earlier, it took less than 2 minutes of screen time to go from Kimmy going, why can't Tommy get these powers too? Oh, look, it's Tommy.
And then she
passed out.
Which makes me wonder narratively, what would Power Rangers be like if they had an hour for an episode instead of like not even they had like 22 minutes?
We'll get to that in a later three-parter that we're recording. I have comments on that. Apparently Skull lives in a scrapyard because three of the Rangers beam off to go get Rita's dumpster at Skull's house and end up fighting putties in a scrapyard.
Don't they also mention in this episode what Skull's dad does for a living?
Yeah.
They don't say what he does for a living. They're just like, this is his workshop. It's like it's their garage.
Maybe he's like a welder or something.
Maybe.
That would make sense.
But I have two positive points left other than that. Anyone else?
I'm good for now.
Okay.
I'm good for now.
First positive point is... A bit of foreshadowing, because the chamber in which they're making the White Ranger is probably the command center from Zeo and Turbo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you see Billy fall down the column of light and, as Mike called it, peep on Zordon.
I mean, he was kind of just peeping
on
them.
He was spying on them. And then my other positive is this episode is directly responsible for me sitting here. I've told the story before, but about 2 years ago at this point, Mike, myself, and a friend of the show, Jordan, better known as the narrator in our introductions, we're on a long trip back from a convention in Wilkesboro,
North Carolina. Yeah.
North Carolina. And I randomly turned around to Mike and said, hey, Mike, I've got a question. And he's like, yeah. And I said, you know how, like, in Power Rangers, Zordon and Alpha, like, manufactured the White Ranger in, like, season two? He's like, yeah. I'm like, how long did it take? And he's like, I don't know. Couple of episodes. I'm like, no, in time, in the world. He's like, I don't know, a couple of hours. And I'm like, question: why didn't Zordon mass produce Rangers? Because if it takes a couple of hours to scoop out a Ranger, right? Why not just create more? Like the next time Zed spies on Earth, he's like, ah, it is time to destroy the pack. Why are there 27 of them? And that led into like a 3 or 4 hour conversation about Power Rangers and different seasons and all this sort of stuff. And I said, Mike, where would be a good place to start watching Power Rangers? And he was like,
just start at the beginning.
I don't know. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm watching all of Power Rangers then.
No, and no, I think I told you to start at the beginning because, yeah.
You might have done.
Yeah.
You might have done. But, like, the point is, this single episode, White Light, is directly responsible for me being involved in this podcast.
For a 9-hour car ride back from Wilkesboro, North Carolina, half of it was spent on this.
I mean, that sounds like a great way to pass the time. I don't understand the problem, Mike.
Hey, hey guys, remember conventions?
Yeah.
That's just mean.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. I watched someone's like vlog from PAX right before the lockdown the other day, and I nearly cried.
So we are actually coming up on... So last year, before the pandemic, literally like 2 weeks before everything shut down, I was at a comic book convention. So for 2020, I got one Comic-Con in before everything went to hell in a handbasket. I
traveled to two different states, but I didn't get to go to a convention.
So I will say that there's just such a camaraderie of being at a convention and such of like being surrounded by your fellow nerds that is just like, I'm glad I got to have the experience before everything turned sour, but I miss it.
I think the last convention I got to go to was Farpoint.
That was actually supposed to be my last convention, but because I had a sinus infection from my Colorado trip, I couldn't go.
Do you think that might have been the big C?
No.
Not the big C, but you know.
No. It wasn't the pandemic. Okay. It was a legitimate sinus infection with bronchitis. So.
Okay. Well, at least it wasn't, you know.
They said because of the altitude changes, it screwed me up.
All right then. Oh, sorry.
Meanwhile,
Brian,
back in the world of the Power Rangers.
Yeah. But sorry. But Brian, you're saying Farpoint, which was supposed to be my last con, but.
Yeah, but. Yeah.
That being said, we have taken part in at least one online convention since then, and it was a lot of fun. And I look forward to doing more.
Yep.
Oh, man.
So, with that...
Man, White Light was really bad.
Yeah.
So, with that, let's find out where you can follow everybody on the social medias, starting with you, Sasha.
Well, you can find my lovely self at geekgirl101.tumblr.com. Yes, I know it's Tumblr, but you can carve out your own little niche. I know I did. And when I'm not getting hate mail, I actually have very nice posts. And of course, Geeky Kaplan, after the best superhero ever, Billy Kaplan on Twitter. And of course, geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com if you'd like to read all of my comic book and nerdy musings in full length.
Ryan.
You can find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek, which is my personal Twitter, and you can also find me at castwavestudios.com. We're going to be hopefully revamping our shows here in a little bit. Pandemic's been kind of with us, but you can absolutely find me at both those locations.
All right, Brian. Hold on. Let me get warmed up for this.
You just called Brian.
I mean, Ben.
My name's Brian, and so is my wife. That is a quote from a movie that no one that's listening to a PG-13 show should be watching.
All right, Ben. I'm warmed up. Let's do this thing.
All right. So, it's me, your boy, Ben Taylor, the inventor of the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you can find me on the internet at many different places, starting with Twitter over at...
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find this show... on Twitter at
@VFTG_PR.
You can find my many musings on the seasons of Power Rangers that I've been writing over the months over at
txhthockey.com/bens-journey.
Can't promise you what one will be the most recent one to come out when this episode airs because I write them ahead of time. We record these ahead of time and who knows what time may bring. And you can find me doing the video game thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV. All right. And then you can find me on the socials, Twitter at thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, Twitch doing the gaming thing just like Ben does, twitch.tv/themichaelx75, and of course the website is always txhthockey.com, doing the thing.
This show specifically,
VFTG. Yep. So with that, Ben... Take us away, Ben.
Yep. It is time to bring this episode to a close. And it is time to say, as I always do, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. And part of your non-gender specific honorifics.
And until next time, be sure to grab your power coins and your power morpher.
And may the power protect you.